All right. Good morning, everyone. It's all the ones with good genes and strong immune system who are here this morning. So, All right. Turn your Bibles to the book of James. We want to look at James 1, verses 1 through 4. And as you guys are turning to the book of James, just to reiterate some of the things that Tim shared. So this Thursday, we do have our church-wide prayer gathering. One of the most important events, actually, of our church is when we gather together to pray. I remember when I was younger, a pastor that I knew in Ann Arbor, I think it was Ann Arbor, once said that, you know, the pastor is popular when people come out on Sundays, right? But you know Jesus is popular when people come out to pray. And I think he was really trying to reiterate, it's really the times that the church has to pray together, that's really the engine of the church, and that's what we believe in as well. And so you don't necessarily have to be an expert in prayer, because none of us are. Maybe some of us, we don't even know, like, a prayer meeting, like, I don't even know where to start. Well, great. Start by coming out and joining us for it. And so this Thursday, I believe we have our prayer gathering, which I think is going to be very appropriate because we did shift our Vision Sunday to next Sunday. And I think I was thinking about that a little bit too, but I really feel like on one hand, yes, it's because of certain circumstances, but I do feel like even in the midst of it, that God is sovereign. And maybe it's another week that he's giving us to really prepare our hearts to receive everything that he has for us. And so part of that means that we have to ready our hearts, and I think the best way for us to do that is by praying and really focusing in on who he is. And so on Thursdays, if you remember when we have our church-wide prayer gatherings, we're also going to be fasting. At least the leadership is going to be fasting, and we want to invite anyone who wants to participate in that day of fasting with us. If you go on our website, I think it's hmcc.net, and then just click on the Austin. I believe on our website there's resources that talk about like fasting and what it is and how you can go ahead and do fasting. But it's not just fasting in terms of abstaining from certain things, but it's really feasting. So even as we're fasting, we want to feast on his word and his presence. And so really want to encourage us with that. And then also access outreach. For those of us who participated in our Campus Missions Week, really the theme of Campus Missions Week was I Heart UT, and we want to continue to carry on that theme all throughout this year and really challenge as well as to encourage and empower our students to really think about what it means to love this campus that God in his sovereign grace has brought you to. So that not only is it about your experience of friendships and your degrees and even afterwards the places that you're going to be working at or grad school and all, I think that's great. But also learning to understand God's heart for those around us who do not know who Christ is. And I think it's really a privilege that we have to be able to share the love of Christ with our friends. And we do that personally as we invest into the relationship. And then also we do that communally as we invite them to come and to experience our biblical community. And so I really want to encourage you to think about, well, it's not, you know, another event that our church is having. Well, it's not so much the event, but it's really an opportunity for us to partner together in reaching our campus and really sharing the love of Christ with our fellow students. Because when you think about the size of our campus, right, 50-some thousand students. And so even if, let's say, 5% on our campus are Christ followers who really have this living and abiding relationship with Christ, that means there's so many more people on our campus who are searching for meaning and significance in their lives. And unfortunately, turning to different things and different ways to really try to fulfill that sense of longing within their own hearts. And so we want to point them to Christ. And so think about not only just coming out, but inviting people. You know, the city of Austin is a great place. We have so many people moving to our city because it's such an interesting city to live in. And so we want to take some time to explore our city as well as to build that relationship with one another. So please keep that in mind, okay? Like I shared, we were scheduled to do our Vision Sunday today. But because of just the circumstances that we're in, we decided to push back our Vision Sunday to next Sunday. Just a couple reasons. We realized that it's the beginning of the school year, which means that, you know, like, at least for our students, you guys are all living in close proximity, going to class together. And for those of us who are pursuing medicine, biology, and so forth, I mean, this is a petri dish of all the germs, right? And so it's flu season, there's COVID, cold season, allergies, and so forth. And we realize that people are gonna be getting sick all the time. And so it's not necessarily that we can't avoid people getting sick, and we don't necessarily wanna be pushing back our events because people are sick. But even as I met with our leadership team and we're talking about just with many of our members who are involved in our various ministry teams as they're not able to come out this Sunday. Are we able to really accomplish the objective that we have for our Vision Sunday? And our answer was, logistically speaking, it would not be possible for us to do that. And so we decided to push back our Vision Sunday to next Sunday, which means on one hand, it is a challenge, but then I also believe that every challenge is an opportunity. And so I think it really, if anything, it really highlights for me the need that we have for all of us to see this as the community of faith that God has brought us to, right? Which means that it's not just about coming to church, but it's really about understanding God's heart and mission and vision for this community of faith and realizing that it's not just my vision as a pastor. It's not just a vision of the leadership, but it's all of us that in God's sovereign grace that he has brought us together to really take ownership of that vision, which means we need you and you need us. And so I think this was a really good reminder that we need to continue to be relentless and really challenging our members to understand that, man, God has equipped you. God has gifted you. Like some of you, your specific personalities and the way that God has shaped you, it's very unique. And God has made you for a specific purpose. And we want to help you to discover that purpose. And more specifically in the context of the church. Because the reality is, I think more than anything, this really highlights the reality that we actually need you to be involved in building God's kingdom. And so even with experiencing ministry coming up, I believe in about two or three Sundays, we have our experiencing membership as well. I really want to encourage you to think about taking those active steps, not just to come, but to really be involved in learning to be a provider and what that entails and what that looks like. And the reality is that, yeah, I realize it's not going to be easy, right? And so when you think about, like, I think about some of the needs that we have in our church. I think about some of the ministry needs, like building blocks. We need people to work with the kids in our church or even publications team. We need people to work with the creative folks in our church. I mean, I'm so thankful for our publication because I don't have an ounce of creative gene in me whatsoever, which is kind of interesting because on my mom's side of the family, we actually have a lot of artists, but unfortunately that gene skipped over me. And so I, you know, like I'm always turning to our leaders to ask them, hey, what's a creative way to approach this? But some of you, God has equipped you in those ways. And so I just really want to encourage us, and that this is a really good reminder that we really need one another, right? That apart from all of us being involved, we're not able to carry out this vision and this purpose that God has for us. And I think for me, that's really important to understand that God has a purpose for us. And when you think about it, it's just amazing to think about what God will invite you into. Because some of those things that God will invite you into, it's the, you know, it's the least expected. I remember if you meet Pastor Seth, he was my pastor when I was in Ann Arbor at the University of Michigan. He's currently in Hong Kong now, overseeing our HMCC of Hong Kong. But I remember the second year when I was at our church in Ann Arbor, and this was the second year of when I was starting my grad program. And I remember at the end of, so it was the end of that first year, end of my second semester, my pastor approached me and said, hey, Ben, what do you think about joining the worship team? And he said specifically, what do you think about playing the drums? And I was like playing the drums? Like, I've never in my life touched any percussion instrument, right? The only musical experience that I have. I play the guitar a little bit. I play the trumpet in high school. My mom wanted me to play the piano, but I quit because I hated it. And so I'm like thinking to myself, like, drums. Like, I don't know how to play the drums. But he said, well, why don't you pray about it? I was like, well, there's nothing to pray about, right? Because I've never played the drums in my life. But I just remember really wrestling with that decision. And I remember, like, God really speaking to me about, Ben, would you be willing to be available, right? Even to step into the realms that might be unfamiliar and uncomfortable for you. And I said, well, if this is the door God's opening for me, then I guess I'm going to say yes. And that was actually the beginning steps of God teaching me to say yes whenever he was leading me and guiding me. So I remember that whole summer, I bought my first set of drumsticks. That's what it's called, right? Like sticks that you play. And I was just practicing at home. And I remember we started the new semester, and, you know, it's like set like this. Right, and I just remember, like, my first time playing ever, it was at Access, and I was so nervous. And I just, it was such a, the only thing that I could do was, like, that basic, and then praise God that the songs that we used to sing back then, I mean, it was a lot simpler than the songs that we sing now. But even then, I couldn't keep a beat. And so I remember, like, our pastor used to come over to me every once in a while, with everyone, and he would just look at me and start doing this to make sure that I was keeping the rhythm. And man, it was challenging. But I thank God for that experience. Actually, I ended up playing for 2 years. I didn't get that much better, but at least good enough to keep the basic rhythm. And not only did God use me to bless our congregation, but actually God used that experience in my life to really show me that, man, God can use us in any way as long as we're willing to be available, and that there is joy when we begin to say yes to the things of God, right? And so just really being available, and I think just with everything that's going on in our church, I think that's a really good reminder for all of us. Are we learning to be available in the ways that God is leading us? So once again, coming back to Vision Sunday, so we're going to have it next Sunday. That's not a bad thing, because it gives us another week to really think about. If you remember last Sunday, I talked about, like, these two specific questions that we want to try to wrestle with, and I have the questions up here. So once again, it's the question of, what is your mission in our campus and in our city? For those of us who are working adults, what is your mission that God is calling you to in our city? For those of us who are students, what is the mission that God is inviting you to participate with him in our campus? And then secondly, what is your mission to the unreached, right? Jesus makes it very clear, the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations, and specifically people who have never heard the gospel. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that God's going to send you, but all of us have a responsibility to really think about, how does this Great Commission impact our lives, right? So what is your mission to the unreached? And so once again, we're going to wrestle with these two questions, and we're going to have a time of response, but I don't want you to come unprepared, right? I want you to spend some time this week really thinking about how God might be leading you to answer these questions. And then also, I think it provides an extra week for us to really be praying for that time together, praying for one another, that God will really speak into our hearts during that Vision Sunday as well, right? And so we're going to do that, and we decided this late Thursday, which meant Friday, I had to pivot, so I had to think about, okay, so we're not going to talk about this, the message that I've been trying to prepare, so what is it that I'm going to talk about this Sunday? And so I started praying, and I started just really seeking God's heart for us. And as I was praying about what it is that we want to talk about this Sunday, I was reminded of King David's life. And actually, one of my favorite stories about King David's life comes from 1 Samuel 30, 1 through 6. And this is a time where David was anointed king, right? But he is not quite there yet of being the king, and he's being chased by King Saul and so forth. And so it's a story of where David and his men, they go away, and while they're away, the Amalekites, they come and they raid their town. And so they burn everything, they carry all the men and women that are left and the children. And then when David and his men come back, that they find the scene of devastation, and this is what we read in verse 6. 1 Samuel 36, and David was greatly distressed, For the people spoke of stoning him because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. In the New Living Translation, it says this: David was now in great danger because all his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters, and they began to talk of stoning him, but David found strength in the Lord his God. Right? David found strength in the Lord his God. I think this story always challenges me because inevitably we will experience challenges, right? Sometimes it's unexpected challenges and tragedies. Because this is a story where David and his men, they weren't expecting their village to be raided. They weren't expecting their loved one to be carried away by their enemies. But it happened. But in the midst of this unexpected circumstance, and this is where the title of today's message comes in, when life gives you lemons. Right? We have that saying in our culture, when life gives you lemons. And we can say that in so many different ways, right? When life happens, when life throws you a curveball, or when your poop hits the fan. I mean, there's so many different ways for us to say. There's at times we encounter unexpected circumstances and even at times very challenging circumstances in our lives. And so when life gives you lemons, what's the rest of the phrase? What do you do with that? You make lemonade, right? Or at least that's what the culture tells us to do. When life gives you lemons, then you take those lemons and you make lemonade. And it's really this concept of, well, when life throws you this unexpected curveball, then you do the best that you can, right? You turn that negative thing into a positive thing. But I actually feel like that's not really biblical, right? What the Bible reminds us isn't when life gives you lemons that you make lemonade out of it. Because that sense of making lemonade out of it means that you do your best to try to take control of that circumstance. And in your own strength and wisdom, you make do. But that's not what the Bible says. When David found himself in the situation, he didn't try to make the best of the circumstance. The biblical worldview and the biblical answer is what? When unexpected circumstances happen, that actually is an opportunity for us to turn to God. Because we see that David strengthened himself in the Lord. In other words, David found strength in the Lord as God. And I believe that it's really these unexpected circumstances that we experience in our lives that becomes the catalyst, or that becomes an opportunity, or that becomes a reminder for us that, hey, we need God in our lives. That we can't, in our own circumstance and in our own wisdom, try to overcome. Right? It's not about making lemonade. Although that does sound really good, making lemonade, right? But it's about learning to trust in God, learning to turn to God and to find strength in God and God alone. And I actually feel like that's really my job as the pastor of this church. Because when you think about the Christian life, you know, we always talk about this. It's not a sprint. But we know that the Christian life is a marathon. And when we run this race of faith, there's so many instances where we're going to experience unexpected difficulties and trials and circumstances. Things are going to happen. You're going to study really hard for that exam, and it's not going to turn out the way that you envision. Right? I had a friend of mine. He was a year older when I was in college, and he did great. He was pre-med, great grades, did well on his MCATs, and he had this vision of wanting to use his degree in medicine to do medical missions. And that's something that he's been praying all throughout his undergrad years. And I remember him applying, and he just felt so confident that this was a door that God was going to open for him. But as he was applying, every letter that he got back from all the medical schools, right? And when you're applying to medical school, you don't just apply to like two. You apply to like 15. Because it's hard to get into medical school. But letter after letter after letter, it was no, 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 no. Until he received his last letter from, I think it was University of Wisconsin somewhere, because he was from Wisconsin. And it was a maybe. He was waitlisted. And that was so unexpected, because he felt so confident that that was a door that God was going to open for him. Right? We encounter situations in our lives where it's not pleasant. It's hard. And if you're not there yet, sooner or later you'll get there. Sooner or later, your faith is going to be challenged. It's going to be tested. And my job as a pastor is to continue to encourage you and equip you so that in those moments, you're learning to strengthen yourself in the Lord. I think that's one of the greatest lessons that you can learn, to really think about being strengthened in the Lord, to find your strength, to find your comfort, to find your courage in the Lord, to continue to move forward in this vision, this path that God has for you. And so that's what we want to talk about. I just really felt like that's the burden that God placed in my heart for us this morning. That even as David, he discovered that in the midst of those circumstances, that he let those circumstances drive him deeper into his relationship with God. I think just with the pivot that we needed to make as a church and some of the struggles that some of us might be going through, let it be a circumstance that will drive you deeper in discovering God's strength in your life. And so that's what we want to talk about this morning, that when life, from time to time, it gives you lemons, don't make lemonade, right? But learn to let those challenges drive you deeper to God. Learn to find strength in God. And that's what James tells us in James 1. And so let's go and read this together. James 1, 2 through 4. James is writing this. He says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flowers fall and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits." I'm going to go ahead and read that for us again, except I'm going to do this in the New Living Translation this time. Okay, this is how the New Living Translation communicates this. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Right? Consider it an opportunity for great joy. "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them, and those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a little flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers. The little flower droops and falls, and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the riches will fade away with all of their achievements." Okay. So as we look into today's passage, the one thing that I want to give us simply is this, that we must grow to understand our trials and challenges as an opportunity for God to mature and strengthen our faith. The reality is that sooner or later, if you're not already in the midst of some challenges and difficulties, unexpected circumstances, that when those come, we have to see it as an opportunity for God to mature and strengthen our faith. That God takes those opportunities to mature and strengthen our faith. Right? So once again, James, he's reminding us that when we experience trials of any kind, and so he says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." And so what he has there in mind, it's not just these difficult, these life-altering, these really challenging trials, but he says trials of any kind, trials of various kinds, whether they're small trials or they're large trials. He says in those moments, there's a decision that you have to make. There's a choice that you need to make, and that choice is either to choose to let those trials drive you so that you can find strength in God, or you can make a choice and a decision where you're letting that trial drive you to misery and uncertainty. So it's either strength in the Lord or misery and uncertainty because you just feel like things are outside of your control. Because that's the decision that David had to make. He could have chosen to maybe run away. He could have chosen to wallow. But he said, no, I'm going to choose this moment to find strength in God. And I think that's what James is encouraging us this morning. And so more specifically, how do you do that? How do you learn to find strength in God when life gives you lemons? I think there's three lessons for us to learn, okay? The way that we find strength in God when life gives us lemons, first of all, is by this, that we learn to trust in his work of maturing us. That we learn to trust in his work of maturing us. Listen again to what James writes. He says, verses 2 and 4, and I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Right? Consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. I remember when I played soccer in high school, my coach, he would always try to push us, you know, during our practices. And he would always remind us in the midst of pushing us. And he would always encourage us to really to embrace the discomfort of being pushed physically and even at times mentally. Because he would always remind us that it's when we are pushed, it's in the midst of that discomfort that we experience that there's a process that begins to happen. And that process is there's a small window that begins to open, where that window allows us to see into who we are. And so as we are being pushed, as we're being made uncomfortable, when we start cutting corners, right? When the coach says, okay, go really hard, and we're thinking, oh gosh, I'm tired. So instead of giving it 100%, you're just giving it 75%. Right, when you should have ran all the way to that cone and back, you're like, I'm almost to that cone. And so you don't quite make it there, and then you start running back. When you start cutting corners, when you start not giving it your best, it really helps us to see who we really are. And he used to always say, when things get difficult, it really brings out your character. And it really challenges you in your fortitude to be committed to that process. And I think James is reminding us that when trouble comes to those who have placed their faith in Christ, once again, there's two ways to see these troubles. Either these troubles become obstacles, or these troubles become opportunities. And the Word of God reminds us that these troubles are opportunities. And he says specifically that they're an opportunity for great joy. They're opportunity for great joy. Now, when you read things like this in the Bible, sometimes it's off-putting a little bit, right? Because we've gone through, I'm sure every single one of us have gone through trials. And when we go through these trials and challenges, it doesn't seem very joyful. Yet the Bible reminds us that when we go through trials of various kinds, to consider that as an opportunity for us to really experience what it means to have joy in God. Opportunity for great joy. Now, we have to be clear in how we understand the joy that James is describing here, because obviously he's not talking about joy in terms of just your feelings, right? He's not talking about joy in terms of happy times, because obviously when you experience trials of various kinds, it's not happy. It doesn't feel good. And it's not pleasant. And it's okay for us to be honest in expressing these emotions. I mean, the book of Psalms is full of people who are experiencing trials of various kinds, and they're lamenting before the Lord. They're expressing their grief, and they're crying out to God. But even in the midst of expressing that struggle, James reminds us that trials and troubles, that it can lead us to joy. And it can lead us to joy when God becomes our goal. Right? And so you think about how does trials and tribulations lead to joy? Well, it leads us to joy if God is your goal. I remember a pastor once saying, trials are joy when God is our goal. Remember that. Trials are joy when God is our goal. Because when something else is our goal, when your success is your goal, when your comfort is your goal, when the status quo is your goal, then when you experience trials, there's not going to be any joy, because you're thinking to yourself, okay, like this is completely taking me off on a different path. This is actually hindering me from experiencing my goal. But what James reminds us is when God is your goal, then when you experience trials, that becomes joy because God uses these opportunities to shape you. It's not the trials themselves that cause joy, but it's what God is able to do in our lives through those trials that becomes joy. So look at how James describes that process. It says, testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Now, the word testing there is literally refining, right? It's removing all the impurities from our lives. And so as our trust in God's goodness, as our trust in God's sovereign grace, as that's being tested, as that's being refined and purified, James reminds us that the result of that work is God producing steadfastness in us, or God producing endurance in our lives, because he knows that the thing that you're going to need to persevere in this Christian life is endurance. Right? He's training us so that we're not just working on our twitch muscles. But he's training us so that we're running to endure, running to persevere, steadfastness, endurance. And he says when you experience trials, that actually becomes an opportunity for your endurance to grow. Right? I think that's such a radical way of looking at our trials. And that's actually a very difficult way for us to look at our trials, because and this is just an honest confession. Every difficulty I experience, my automatic thought isn't, oh my gosh, this is an opportunity for me to endure. My first reaction is, man, this sucks. And sometimes I use language that's a little bit stronger than this sucks. This stinks. I don't know if this is doo-doo. I don't know. It's hard. It's difficult. And that's why, when you think about what James is writing here, that this is an opportunity for joy to take root in your heart. When you think about it, that sense of joy, it's not, okay, I have to dig deep and somehow try to produce this joy within my own heart. No. The joy in your life is what? It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. causes joy because it gives an opportunity for the Spirit of God to be at work. And the reality is that it's these moments when you are tested and tried that's when your endurance has a chance to grow. And that's really the reality, right? When you think about your own walk with Christ, when things are going well, right? When you're doing well in your classes, no struggle, well in your relationship, things are going well at work. When things are going well, it's not natural for us to turn to God. In fact, it's the exact opposite. When things are going well, it's really easy for us to ignore God. Because we feel like there's really no need for God. And Paul says, it's when we experience trials, it's a blessing. Because that trial becomes an opportunity for your endurance to grow. And as that endurance grows, it matures us in our faith. And it shapes us into Christ-likeness. Listen to what one commentator writes. He says, and I quote, one day every person is going to stand before Almighty God, and God's goal from now until then is to prepare you for that day. We don't think like this, for we think the goal of life is to be successful, to have a nice job, to get a raise, to achieve a standing in the world, to attain a certain goal, or to have a certain kind of family. Then when trials hit in our family, our work, or with some plans we have, they devastate us. But if our goal is to know God and to be conformed into his likeness, then we can take joy in trials because we can know that no matter how tough these trials are, they are moving us toward our goal, unquote. Right? No matter how tough these trials are, no matter how confusing these trials might be, if our goal is God, then we can be certain that God is moving us so that we're becoming more like him. Right? God is using this opportunity to grow us so that we're maturing and becoming conformed to who he is. So we learn to trust in his work of maturing us. But not only that, second lesson is that we grow to see from God's perspective, that we're growing to see from God's perspective. Look at what James writes in verse 5. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for anything. And so when you read chapter 1, these are not just like random thoughts that James has. He's not talking about trials producing joy. Oh, and by the way, if you lack wisdom, then ask God. Right? What he's reminding us, because the theme is trials in our lives. And so trials is an opportunity for us to grow, but not only that, but trials is an opportunity for us to ask for God's wisdom. He's saying ask for wisdom in your trials, because the reality is that you don't have it. Or at least we have some wisdom, but you're not complete in your wisdom, right? You're not complete in understanding your situation and your circumstance through God's truth, through his word, and through what God is doing. Sometimes it's hard for us to see that. And that's why James says, when you experience trials, you desperately need God's wisdom. And so think about even that process of God giving us wisdom. When God says, all right, I'm going to give you wisdom, what does he do? He doesn't just come into our life and turn on that wisdom switch, and all of a sudden it's like dark, and then bam, it's light, and then like, wow, you have this heavenly wisdom, and you're like, I can see everything through God's perspective. No, you're growing in wisdom. It's that process, right? So once again, all throughout this chapter 1, this theme of God growing you, maturing you, it takes time. So this biblical concept of wisdom, first of all, is that you're growing, you're deepening your understanding and your experience of knowing who God is. So wisdom starts from knowing who God is. And knowing who God is, once again, is the pr-
process, as you grow in your relationship with him, as you grow in your understanding of God's word. And so wisdom starts by you knowing who God is, and you are also growing and maturing and reflecting who God is in your own life, right? So wisdom, understanding who God is, and through that understanding, reflecting who God is in your life. And James reminds us that all of us, we're a work in progress. And so we need to constantly be asking God for wisdom. And so what James is reminding us is when life gives us a bunch of lemons, when we encounter these unexpected challenges and trials, they challenge us to realize that we don't understand all that's going on. And that we lack the experience in what we should do in those circumstances. And so he says we turn to God and we ask him to give us wisdom. Because growing in wisdom, that happens through a process as we grow in our knowledge of God's word. Right? And as we grow in the knowledge of his word, we grow in understanding his word as we experience life, as we try to live out his word in our experiences. And that knowledge that we gain in growing in his word and going through the various experiences in our lives, that knowledge, it changes our perspective of understanding who God is. And that perspective of who God is, that changes our perspective of understanding who we are. And so it causes us to press into God, where we're asking God to help us to see our situation through the reality of who he is, through his goodness, his faithfulness, his holiness, his righteousness, through his justice and mercy, through his sovereign grace that is at work in our lives. Right? It's an opportunity for us to understand who God is in our circumstances. And that shaping how we should live our lives. And so James reminds us that if we approach God with that desire, to say that, God, through these circumstances, yeah, I know that it sucks. I know that it's unexpected. But I want to know you, God. I want to know more and understand more of who you are and who you declare yourself to be. And James says if we approach God with that desire, if we come to God and ask, God, I don't know what's going on. But I want to know who you are and how you're maturing me even through these difficult and unexpected circumstances. James says God will give you wisdom. Right? God will give you insight so that you can know that, yeah, I don't have all the answers, but I know that God is at work in me and in growing me and helping me to endure. That God will empower you to grow, so that you will see clearly or more clearly from his perspective. That it's an opportunity for us to grow, to see from God's perspective, right? So not only are we learning to trust in God's work of maturing us, not only are we growing to see from God's perspective, but last lesson is this, that we are challenged to ultimately depend on God. We're challenged to depend on God. And this is what James talks about. Look at verse 9 and 10. He says, believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them, and those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a little flower in the field. And so once again, this is all along that theme of us experiencing trials. And this is basically what he's saying. He's saying that the lemons that life gives you, that they have a way of leveling the playing field. And so he says it doesn't really matter whether you're rich or poor, whether you have an abundance in your resource or not, because it's not your resource that's going to rescue you. It's not your resource that's going to mature you. It's not your resource that's going to encourage you, but it's God which means even if you don't have much, because you realize you don't have much, you actually are challenged to cry out to God and to depend on God even that much more. Right? Sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get into these situations, I'm like, man, there's nothing that I can do, and it only has to be God. And when I come to that realization, that drives me deeper into God. That causes me to cry out to God. And so basically what James is saying is, if you're poor, if you don't have that much resource, then yeah, that's causing you to depend on God that much more. But he says, if you're rich, if you have much, then when you experience trials, that becomes an opportunity where God humbles you. Because just like everyone else, our tendency is that when we have much, then it's so easy for us to turn to the much that we have, turn to our resources, to depend on our resources. But James is reminding us, but it's an opportunity for God to humble us, because yes, maybe for a while you can get away with leaning on your resources. But sooner or later, there's going to come a time when you're going to realize that all the money in the world, it's not going to help to solve your problems. That all the resources, all the friendship in the world, that it's not going to cover up the hurts and the disappointments that you experience in your heart. So these become opportunities for God to humble you. And that process of humbling you isn't to belittle you. But that process of humbling you is helping you to turn to God and realize that He is the only one who has the resources, not just temporarily, but forever, to fulfill the longings and the desires of your heart, to speak peace that transcends all understanding, that will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus, that can speak joy, so that even in the midst of great loss and pain and and confusion, that you can continue to have the steadfast knowledge that God will be faithful to you, that God will be true to His word. That's the process of what it means to be humble. And so that's what God does. And that's what God invites us to. So how do we grow to find strength in God during moments of unexpected challenges? We grow to find strength in God by trusting in His work of maturing us, by growing to see from God's perspective, and by depending on God and His provisions. So when life gives you lemons, don't make lemonade, right? But when life gives you lemons, realize that that's an opportunity for you to grow, to find strength in God. And you can find strength in God by trusting in His work, by growing to see from His perspective, and by learning to depend on His His provisions. And so once again, the one thing is that we must grow to understand our trials and challenges as an opportunity for God to mature and strengthen our faith. So how do we make this personal? I think there's three ways that we can do this. First of all, turn to God during moments of unexpected challenges. And I think it seems like dull, right? It's like a no-brainer. But the reality is that it's so hard for us to turn to God. It's easy for us to turn to things that distract us, or turn to other people, or turn to things that comfort us. But no, turn to God, right? David strengthened himself in the Lord, right? Instead of focusing on his circumstances, he turned to God. And as you turn to God, secondly, rest in His commitment and His faithfulness to you. How do you do that? By remembering all that God has done. I'll bet you in that moment of being distressed because of this great loss, because of the danger that David is facing, he turned to God, and as he turned to God, he remembered the ways that God has rescued him. He remembered the ways that God has empowered him. So rest in His commitment and His faithfulness to you. And as you turn to God, as you rest in his commitment, then move forward by remembering his grace. And for those of us who are followers of Christ, this is where the cross of Christ becomes so important. Because we remember Jesus' death and resurrection. And it's the cross of Christ that reminds us of God's grace in our lives. That he strengthens us through his grace. So turn, rest, and move forward. I love how James closes this out. Look at verse 12. He said, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. In other words, what James is reminding the people is, hey, listen. I know that it's easy to get discouraged, to get distracted, but listen, God is for you. Remember that God, remember what you go through in life, that God is for you, and he stands firmly by your side. I want to finish with this video. It's 1992. I think some of us might be familiar with this. It's the Barcelona Olympics, and Derek Redmond, he's a sprinter for representing the U.S. In the midst of his race, he experiences this unexpected trial, and I want us to see what happens. Okay, so let's go ahead and watch this video together. All right, let's stand together as we close out. It's his dad who came to his rescue. Because that's really the father's heart, right? And I saw this video a long time ago. And I was just reminded once again that that's really God's heart for us. The reality is that, yeah, we're never going to be able to... We can't avoid the unexpected trials and the challenges that we experience in our lives. But when those trials come, God says, I'm going to carry you through because I'm a good father. I'm going to give you my strength so that you can lean on me. And that's an opportunity for me to be at work in your life, to mature you. So that you can grow more and more in confidence of knowing my heart and my love for you. And that's the joy that we experience. When I see that video, on one hand, you see the agony of that athlete who has trained all of his life to finally make it to the Olympics. And the heartbreak that he must have experienced. But at the same time, that's the picture of what it means to find joy. Because I'm sure in that moment that even though, yes, he was disappointed, he found strength in the love of his father who came to say, hey, son, we're going to do this. Let's finish this together. Let me pray for us. So, Father, we thank you for just this wonderful reminder. And this is a wonderful reminder, an important reminder that we need over and over again. That at times, life, it gets hard. It gets difficult. It gets confusing. Doesn't necessarily turn out in the ways that we expect. At times it does throw a curveball at us. It gives us lemons. At times it does seem out of our control. But you remind us, God, that in the midst of it all, that you are there. That things are never outside of your control. And that you are good enough, that you are big enough, that you're great enough to redeem these moments of our lives, where you use it for our good. You use it where it becomes an opportunity for us to experience your commitment, to experience your faithfulness, to experience your grace, your mercy, your strength. And that produces in us joy, not necessarily in the circumstance, but joy in knowing that we have a Father who stands by us. Joy in knowing that we have a Father who will carry us through. And so use these moments in our lives. And may these moments be an opportunity where we will see endurance grow in us. So that for the rest of our lives, that we will be shaped and molded by you to become more and more like you. I want to pray specifically for those of us who right now are in the midst of these trials and unexpected circumstances. Maybe it's in the context of our work, or maybe it's our relationship. Maybe it's a certain ailment that we're struggling with. Maybe it's financial. Whatever it may be, God, I pray that you will be at work. Holy Spirit, be at work in the lives of my brothers and sisters to bear your fruit, God, in their lives. So that they will not be overcome by the uncertainties. They will not be defeated, God, by their circumstances. But as you work, Holy Spirit, produce in them love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. And may these moments in their lives become an opportunity for them to dig deeper in understanding your heart for them, God. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll strengthen us and really help us to know that you are at work because you delight in us. So we thank you, God. We thank you, God, for this time. We thank you for this word. Can I just invite us before our band leads us in time of closing worship? Can I just give us the next couple minutes as we stand before the Lord? Let his work, let the Spirit of God, let it strengthen you. Let it encourage you. Let it empower you. Let it challenge you. Let it shape you. So whether you want to respond by just reflecting on his word, whether you want to respond by praying, even as the Spirit maybe brings about revelation in certain things, let's respond. And then even as you're praying, don't just pray for yourself, but pray for those around you. Pray for people in your life group. Pray for the people who are sick right now in our church. Pray that these opportunities that we will all experience will become opportunities for us to press deeper into the heart of God.